Welcome everybody to the City of Shore Acres, January 25th, 2016, 7 p.m. meeting of Shore Acres City Council. First line of business is roll call, Mr. Stahl.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowen. Alderman Schnell. Mayor Moses.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Adams.
Present.
Alderman Wheeler.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Moving to item 2.0, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on to item 3.0, special presentations. There are none tonight. Move on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. And then 4.1, regular council meeting January 11, 2016. If the council's had time to review the minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Do you have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Any questions to the council? And then being all those approved, say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay. The ayes have it. Moving on to item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses. 5.1.1, update on State Highway 146 sound wall progress. Once again, going over the sound wall, there's not much of a change. We are moving in a forward progression. The state of Texas has hired a track hold type system out there to put the new panels in. If you notice, they've been working about 6 days a week. Even though it had rained and they couldn't get the trucks in, they decided to bring in a different piece of equipment. They have changed around people who are overseeing the project somewhat back and forth, but the progress is moving forward. There is no completion date. I hear different dates, but I'm not going to announce it because I've been told so many different things. I don't want to say that. All I can tell you is that every day other than Sunday, I've been seeing people out there moving on the wall. They're going to complete the north end first before they start the south end. On the south end, I don't know if they're going to go to the furthest south end or they're going to go to the north end. I'm not sure. So at this time, I'll just leave it up there. I know there's not much more in that to report on that. I apologize, but it's one of those things. I just don't have much information for them on that. Moving down to item 5.1.2, items of community interest. At this time, I really don't have anything else to report. There are some agenda items we have on here that we're going to discuss, or at least one of them we're going to talk briefly about later on, so I'll move on from there. 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council. Comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited, 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion deliberations specified and identified on the agenda. With that being said, anybody that would like to talk, basically I'm going to start with the right side of the room and work our way to the left. If you want on the back side first, if you please stand to the podium where we can get you on the speaker for the people that listen to the audio, state your name and address.
I'm Neil Moyer, North Country Club Drive. I'm going to speak on items 8.2 and 8.3. 8.2 has a certain sexiness that a lot of politicians like to address themselves to, but this is the wrong time for that. If it's appropriate, it should be taken up when there's a city budget under consideration rather than bifurcating or trifurcating the process. And so I think this item should be best deferred and at worst denied until the council gets into budget action. 8.3 has to do with the proposed agreement with the City of La Porte for heavy trash collection services. I know the mayor has devoted an inordinate amount of time to try and hammer this out, and I know there are some people who certainly would want to go ahead with this, but there are several elements of the proposed agreement that are disturbing, not the least of which is the cost, which is based on $12 per every resident and residents in the city. And we know that every resident in the city does not partake of this valuable service. Second one has to do with provision in the contract which says that the pickup would be quarterly, which is fundamentally not necessarily a problem, but it says only 2 days will be committed to that, and there's a possibility that 2 days worth of effort wouldn't cause all the heavy pickup to be accomplished, in which case there would be material left out there for quite an extended period of time, since it's not clear when those 2 days in a quarter will occur. In theory, you could have 2 days occur at the front of one quarter and the 2 days occur at the tail end of another quarter, and you could have almost 6 months of material out there for people to get picked up. I infer that they're proposing not to use a piece of grappler equipment because they do call for tree debris to be cut to 4 foot lengths and bundled. That suggests to me that they're not using the grappler, and that means there would be a lot of, for want of a better word, pre-processing by the homeowners in order to get it, even though they do specify an 8x6x6 area for these materials to be in. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, since we've seen in the past the grappler has been, in fact, the more efficient way of gathering up tree debris. So, unfortunately, on those premises, and since there's some other ambiguities in the proposal, I'd like to see the council defer action on this and see what alternatives. I recall that in the past, when Republic wasn't able to fulfill their expected obligations, we were able to engage other people on a case-by-case basis, and as I recall, they did have a grappler. Hopefully that option is still available, and possibly that can be worked out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Moyer.
Patrick Stanton, 128 Shady Line. First off, I visited Heron Park, and it really looks great. So whoever's taking care of Heron Park has really done a good job. They've redone the viewing platform. They've have little signs around identifying all the plants and everything. It looks great. So whoever is responsible for that, I'd like to tell them that I appreciate that. I listened to the last meeting, and I gathered that the Port of Houston's they're not even going to pursue to get another cruise line in. I think that's a terrible waste of the taxpayers' money, and I think we ought to put a little heat on them. They're going to use the cruise terminal as a warehouse. That just doesn't make sense to me. And the third thing is we're losing one of the assets of the community, and that's our palm trees. I counted today from 0146 to the bay, and there's 10 trees that are dead. So, and from sunrise to the bay, there's about 8 of them that are dead. Now, I heard Randy Lemon on Saturday, somebody called in and said there's some kind of fungus in Harris County, and they're losing palm trees all over the place. So, in any event, we need to do something about it. Either remove the trees or try to find out what's causing this. Because, you know, it was a nice asset we had when you go down there and you got palm trees. It kind of gives you the ambience of a nice community, but not when they're all dead. So, we need to address that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hello, my name is James Hester. I'm 3523 Bayou Forest Drive. I wanted to talk about section 8.2 and 8.3 as well as this gentleman here. And I believe that 8.2, the homestead, I believe that's for 65 and older. If that's the case, it might not be that much of a financial hit to the city, but I read in the LaPorte paper that it was 65 and older or disabled veterans and things of that nature. So anyway, I could be wrong. So personally, as a resident, I would think that's great, but I don't know what it's going to do for the budget, so I'm kind of on the fence on that. Number three, on the large pickup, I have to agree with this gentleman, what he was talking about, completely. There is an alternative that I thought worked real well last year, and the dumpster out in the parking lot. I think that would be really good, because then, you know, community can come in and put it in the truck and then just dump it in the dumpster. They wouldn't have to bundle and things of that nature. And I bet it would be a lot more cost effective. So I would really think that would be a great alternative. And then the gentleman that was talking about the palm trees, that was one thing that my wife and I, when we got here to this city, we really thought that was just phenomenal, beautiful. Those canaries were just great, and it's sad to see them dying. So I'd like to second the motion for that gentleman there. And then also, I agree, that's really a waste of the cruise area. I don't know if we're involved in that or not, but we might be able to show some kind of awareness. Anyway, that's all I have, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
All right, we're going to move on to item 7.0, Administrator Reports. 7.1, City Administrator Report.
Good evening. I'll start with 7.1.1, the West Country Club Drive Wastewater Project Status. As Council is aware, we have a 21-inch sewer or wastewater trunk line that collapsed from infiltration and the pipe just wore out. It's a 53-year-old concrete C76 pipe that the top got eaten out of, and the portion that's directed into the ditch line there got some infiltration, which is like the crack in a dam, and it eroded out until we had a sinkhole and a collapse on that line. We have been bypass pumping, as discussed with the council previously. We did a point repair. We expended about $27,000 emergency contract to have that excavated and a 14-foot section of the pipe replaced. There was not sufficient good pipe at either end of that to attach and put that line back in service. So that line has remained out of service with the bypass pumping continuing. That new section of pipe can be used, however, to do a cured-in-place liner or a pipe bursting. As was discussed at the last council meeting, and the decision was made to pursue the cured-in-place and funding for the cured-in-place. I'll talk to funding in my next item, but as it stands for the actual failure there, it is stable. It's been stabilized. The ditch has been cleaned up. We don't have any issues at this point with stormwater and that wastewater line, and the bypass does not cause us any problems. It is an inconvenience to those residents that are in the immediate area, and that we have a quiet style bypass pump, it does run continuously and does create a hum that's a nuisance. And so I'm not discounting the impact that it might have to someone whose home is very close to that pump, but it is not causing us any disruption or limitation on our wastewater until we can get a permanent fix. On the line itself, I'll be happy to answer any questions before I move on to the financial aspects.
Any questions? Alderman Jones?
Moving to 7.1.2.
Okay, move on.
One of the, in looking at how we replace that line. At the last council meeting, we had quotes from one contractor under HGAC bids, which means we don't have to go out for bid. We use the HGAC unit pricing. We had two methodologies of that repair. The cured in place was in the $200,000 range, and that was the direction we were directed. And that was for not only the section that failed, but the section from Shore Acres Boulevard, the entire north-south line to the city limits under the water tower. So that would put a new liner inside the existing pipe for that entire length, including the failed section. There were a couple places where there was no concrete top left in the pipe that would also have to be excavated and point repairs done, another piece of pipe set in there so that there's mechanical strength of the repair. That said, we continue to look at other ways of repairing that that might be more cost effective. I reached out to some other communities who've done similar projects, talked with the Public Works director and engineer in the city of Webster, and they recommended another company that they use who has buyboard pricing. Very similar to HGAC, it would keep us from having to go out for bid and delay the project to go through a legal bidding process. Buyboard is used by school districts, originally started with school districts and has been expanded now to where cities can use it as well. But it is another process, just like HGAC, which is the Council of Governments, for pre-bid. So that contractor came out a week ago with the city engineer, and tonight at 6 o'clock I got their quote. Webster thought it might be less than what we had already gotten, and as it turned out, it was $100,000 more than what we had previously gotten. It was $385,000. So we've already got what looks like our best price procured in place, and we moved on to the financing. So with that in hand, I've been pursuing the Texas Water Development Board. They were very slow in getting back to me. It turns out that this is the time of year when they're doing their outreach and doing their annual workshops on financial planning. I got a return call just last week from the person that heads that up for the Houston area, and she was going to be in Beaumont and then was going to Conroe for the last of these workshops. So last Thursday I went to Conroe and I attended their annual financial workshop there for the Houston region. Following that four-hour workshop, it was very fortuitous because I got then to meet with the state finance personnel, their state engineer, the state program officer, and the two folks that work in the Houston area, and discuss our project and other projects with them. Talked about the collapse that we had being an emergency need. Also talked about our future needs for elevated storage, for a water transmission line from Water Plant 1 where surface water arrives to Water Plant 2, and potential trunk line rehabilitation under Highway 146. The bad news there is that we are not eligible for any of the what they call forgivable programs. They don't do grants, but they do loans that once the project is complete and you've made a minimum number of payments, they forgive the balance. Typically $200,000 of the balance of the cap. To be eligible for that, however, your population has to be under 1,000, and ours is not, or your median household income has to be 75% or less of the state median income, which is $63,000. Using their database that they use for the city of Shore Acres for 2015, our median household income is $103,352, so we don't come close at all. That said, there's no forgivables available for us. They do low-interest loans through their clean water program for wastewater. The problem there is on an emergency basis, the absolute fastest that they could fund a project would be 6 months. So that moves us out of the time frame. So that moves us back to looking at other sources and commercial loans. The other thing they pointed out is that we have the capacity to pay for it out of pocket. Really, we don't want to tie up our unbudgeted funds that way. So now I'm working with Wells Fargo, who we have our banking relationship with. Today, having got that final bid in, they've started the process. My target with them is to be able to fund and contract by the 25th of February to get that project going. So I also, they're on the agenda, so I already mentioned, also plan to start in the next month and a half the application process for elevated storage for the transmission line and the rehabilitation line. There's no cost for us to start that process, and there's no obligation for us to take the money. The money there is 1.25% below what the market rate is at the time of issue, and would be available on a 20-year term. So that's very favorable. Favorable terms, it's significantly less cost than going out for a bond and having the bond cost. As that, in addition to that, there's only a 2.38% origination, and that covers all of their costs on the state program. That's a revolving fund that they have, and they have a lot of money there, so the funding isn't a problem, and it still has that 6-month lead time. And like I said, we're not obligated to take it once we get to the end of that process, so that gives us the most options going forward. That is 7.2.
And any questions on 7.12? We're on 7.13.
Yeah, actually, we're just going to do 7.12 again.
Okay.
Because the number's the same.
Exactly.
This time we'll be talking about the lightning repair, the wide area radio network system. This is the SCADA. This is the radio system that ties our 3 wastewater plants and our 2 water plants in the City Hall, Public Works, and together. We, when we had that system, so we had the lightning damage, lightning strike to water tower. Documentable lightning damage, we're insured for that. It's only a $2,500 deductible. Looks like about $17,000 worth of damage to the equipment. We got our contractor out here. They started the work. They worked from the east end of the city to going west. So they started with lift station 3, which had no damage, so that they could get the programming protocols off of a radio they know was not damaged. Then they came to City Hall, and they worked their way to water plant number 2 on Bioforest, and got that programmed back here to City Hall like it's supposed to be and back on the air. And then they went to lift station 1, which is by the railroad tracks. Lift station 1, we all got a surprise. I got a phone call that there was no antenna at lift station 1, which didn't make any sense at all. So I went down there and discovered that when we were under warranty and we were unable to have reliable communications with lift station 1, and they came out and worked on it, and we went from about 30% reliability to about 90%, still not 100%. They used bootleg equipment. They disconnected the original equipment and antenna and installed a Wi-Fi modem on the tower, and we're using a Wi-Fi modem to go from lift station 1 to water plant 2. So that meant that we had to replace the antenna and reconnect the original equipment. But in doing that, they discovered that the original programming was done incorrectly, and that they could not use City Hall as the master as was originally designed. And so the master was moved to lift station or to a water plant 2, and was placed back in service. So now we're 100% up with our SCADA wide area network, but we did have to purchase an antenna to replace one that the contractor had substituted out, which was an aggravation. And I'm pursuing that with the contractor, but we're out of warranty. And our engineers, the project engineer, should have caught that substitution of the equipment as not being appropriate. Then with that back in, we're 100% up and running and recovered from the lightning damage. Anything on that wide area network before we move to the next item?
That was item 7.1.3.
Well, it was 2B, if you want to say 2A and 2B. Now we're going to 3, the gateway sign.
Before you move to the gateway, is there any recourse, David, legal recourse when you come back along?
Because neither us or our engineer objected at the time, I don't think there's going to be.
Okay.
The project engineer never should have allowed the substitution of the equipment, as far as I'm concerned. It wasn't originally spec'd equipment. And you know, I'm sure that the contractor made the argument that they paid for additional equipment. They didn't remove any of the other radios, and they did use the current Ethernet hubs, so it was The only thing that was missing was the antenna itself. Everything else was there and programmed.
So just the antenna was missing?
Yeah. Now, the contractor did it to the original specifications, and the original specifications didn't work because of our trees. The backhaul was too far for the density of trees that we have at that microwave range. The trees absorb the energy. It was a bad spec in the beginning. Contractor will legitimately tell you that they did exactly what the spec said. And our recourse back to the original engineer, I suppose there may be something there.
Okay. I think Alderman Jennings had a question also.
Yes, sir.
What time frame were you looking at? You said you drove out there and you found it. A month, 3 months, a year?
I'm sorry.
You said you drove out there and you found that the contractor didn't do what you wanted him to do.
Well, we didn't discover it until this new contractor came in and was doing the work last week.
Correct. So yeah. What kind of time frame is that?
Between the time that the substitution was made and the time we discovered it?
Yes.
About 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
What's the cost of the antenna?
I don't know what to tell me. I mean, it's a commercial Yagi, probably 7-element antenna. My guess would be it's going to be about $350.
Okay.
All right.
Plus or minus $300.
All right. So we're going to move to 7.13.
Now we're at 3.
Okay.
Okay. While we had the experts here, in this radio system, and frankly, that's really what created the problem, is that there is a dearth of qualified technicians to work on the sophisticated radio system that we have. And these folks here came from Dallas. They are down here working at some of the chemical plants, doing work for them as well, to do ours. And so there wasn't the expertise in the electricians that were hired to do the radio work under the contract by the general contractor. That leads us to the gateway sign. The gateway sign was done under a separate contract in the same time frame. We contracted with National Signs to build the sign and to do the electronics. And we asked them to put in the wide area network radio system to match up with our system. Again, they pointed the antenna here, which because of the trees was never able to be functional. So while we had the experts here, and we're not paying a second mobilization, wanted to get them to put our gateway sign on the system and point it to water plant 2 and do that. They discovered that they had to replace the radio that is in that sign controller. Everything else is there, and that radio has a 10-day lead time. So that radio has been ordered, and we're probably about a week away from having that radio installed and having the gateway sign on the network where we can once again program it. Only this time we'll be able to program it here from City Hall as well as Public Works and the Police Department if need be. So we're finally getting close to getting that closed.
Any questions? Moving on to 7.14.
Local area network computer. We've got a six-year-old network server here at City Hall, and it has become unreliable. We have been going down about once a day. As of last week, our system goes down about 3 times a day. Today it was down 4 times. And so we're going to have to replace the network computer server. I'm going to have to look at where we have the funds to do that. Part of that funding, however, will come from court technology because it does support our municipal court software. This is just a heads up that's coming. We're going to have to do that. It's also having an adverse impact on our ability to do remote access and our email. So if you see delays and glitches in being able to access your city email, we're not losing any email, but the access to it is up and down. When it crashes on the weekend, it typically stays down until Monday morning. And so we're not having the reliability that we need there for for the city. And I would say that while you might think weekend and after hours is not a problem, it is a problem because the police department's on the system, access 24/7, and so we need to get that system up and running.
Thank you, David. Any questions? We're on item 7.2, monthly financial report, Mr. Stahl.
In your packet is the monthly financials. And our general fund checking balance on the last day of the calendar year was $99,649.98. The utility fund was $38,847.41. The city was holding $56,572.60 in service deposits for our utility account. Our Texas Community Development Block Grant Fund balance is $955.74, and I can report that today the mayor signed the closeout paperwork, and we expect to get our closeout done, and then that balance will go back to the general fund probably in the next 60 days when GLO clears that. Our text pool, which is an investment fund we have, made the best interest we've made in about 3 years in December. We earned interest of $108.28, and the balance at the calendar end was $684,296.74. We have four certificates of deposit that have maturity value of $255,852. And we have finally got to the month where we see some revenue coming in on property tax, largely paid from escrow accounts from mortgage companies, and we have collected in the month of December $413,411.96 for a total disbursement, including delinquent taxes to the city, of $440,066.98. Sales tax. December, we're still down about 6% over prior year, but our general sales tax revenue was $5,282.14, and the road maintenance sales tax is $1,320.53. And that's the financial report.
Thank you, David. Any questions from the council?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead,
Mr. Stahl, could you explain your reasoning behind your new policy of line item 4991-1 and 4999-2, the transfer from the GF reserve and the contribution from the GF reserve to basically, as we talked this morning, to basically put them on the budget but not subtract them from any other account?
Well, then, okay.
And in previous years, you have not done that.
That's correct. It is, okay, trying to say this in a way that everybody can follow. When the city adopts a budget, in that process, a decision is made of how much of prior year fund balance is going to be used in the new going forward budget, in addition to new revenues. So, for simplification, if the city had $100 and in the new budget they decided $50 was going to be used for the new budget and another $50 is going to be collected in taxes, that would leave $50 of that $100 in unbudgeted reserve. But the $50 that you're going to use in the new year is budgeted as a revenue. It's not an ongoing income, but it's a revenue because you're using your own money. And so in the past, I did not reflect on that line item the full amount of prior year balance that was rolling forward into the new budget until it was I did it on a rolling basis and would do it in typically $100,000 tranches, which kept us from having a negative balance. The reality is all that money is all in the same place all through the year. And so because last year it was confusing and people thought when I moved the $100 on paper to that we were taking money out of the reserve, which was inaccurate. That money had already been budgeted. So what you see here is the full amount the council budgeted of prior year balance and unbudgeted reserve to this year's budget is reflected there. The money hasn't moved anywhere. It hasn't been taken out of anywhere, and it hasn't been put in anywhere. It doesn't get spent until there's an expenditure on the other side of the balance sheet. And so that's where those numbers are, and that's the difference from prior years.
Any rebuttal? Any questions from council?
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Move on to item 8.0, business. 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. The council's had time to look over the invoices. I entertain a motion.
Motion. Okay, the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We have a second.
Second.
Any questions from council on the invoices? If none being, all those approved, say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay. Mr. James, did you approve?
Aye.
Aye. All those approved with more ayes. David? No nays. Item 8.2, I spoke with Alderman Snell. She's ill, out tonight. She asked 8.2 be skipped, so we'll be passing that one on. Moving on to item 8.3, consideration action to adopt resolution number 2016-160, authorizing execution and local agreement, with the City of LaPorte for the purpose of receiving heavy trash collection services. Mayor Moses. For some time now, I've been working along with David, along with the city manager of LaPorte. We have been going back and forth trying to come up with some type of resolution. Was it Thursday we received this, David?
Yes.
Just right before the wire, before we had to put it out, we received this. And I didn't actually have time myself to go through it until actually over the weekend. I certainly appreciate LaPorte going out of their way and taking their time. It cost them a lot of time and effort to go through this. I know we spent quite a bit of time and effort trying to get information gathered on both parties. I do not have a voting say in this. I'm just saying how I feel about the contract. I really appreciate what LaPorte has done for us, trying to do this for us. But at this time, I feel this is nowhere near what the city of Shore Acres needs, in my opinion. I think we need to look at other options. We cannot discuss other options until after we talk to the council here, and then that would have to be on the next agenda. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for a motion here shortly from the council. If there is no motion, it dies where it's at. There's no discussion of it at all. We'll move forward. However, I did speak with Alderman Snell. I was not able to speak with Alderman McComb. She feels the same way, that basically this is not something for the city of Shore Acres. It's not cost effective. It's not really meeting the needs that we really want it done. I think we could come up with possibly some better ideas. I know that we can. But in my opinion, this is not the direction we need to travel at this time. So with that being said, it was a lot of time and effort put into this. And once again, I appreciate the city of LaPorte, but it's not myself to get to do the vote here. So I'm going to ask at this time if anyone would like to make a motion on ordinance number 2016-196. No motions made. Dies there. We move on to item 8.4. Consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-196, ordering the city of Shore Acres 2016 city officers election, designated election precincts and polling places, providing for the use of voting machines, appointed election officials, providing for method and dates of early voting, providing for an early voting ballot board, providing for returning canvas of votes in said election, providing for notice, and providing for filing deadline. Mr. Stahl.
Yep, this is the annual election order, and it has all of those things that were just enumerated in it. The election will be on May 7th. That is the date by statute for the election. The beginning and ending date of early voting is also in here, which is set by statute. And then the city has elected to do extended hours twice, on a Wednesday and the last day of filing, to hold the offices open from till 7 p.m. so that we can get folks in here to early vote. And actually, it'll be from 7 to 7 on those 2 days, so we have 12 hours.
Okay. Do we need to do any type of motion on that too?
Oh, yeah,
you'll have to vote on it.
Both parties.
Okay. I'll say, with that being said, I'll entertain a motion for 2016-196.
Make a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-196.
Mr. Mayor, point of order.
Yes, sir.
Item number 3, beginning Wednesday, January the 20th, and continuing during regular office hours until Friday, February 19th. Number 4.
Number 3, you said, sir?
August, and number 4, beginning on January 20th, 2016, ending on February 23rd. Those are the dates that people can file. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I should have said point of information. Thank you.
That's okay.
Yeah, the section, just for clarification, section 3 is for those whose names will appear on the ballot, and section 4 is for undeclared candidates, write-ins. They still have to file, but their name would not appear on the ballot. It would be a write-in.
There is a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Point of information was made. Alderman James, is there any other questions from the council on item 8.4? That being said, all those approved say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those against, nay. The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.5, consideration action to excuse the absence of Alderman Jerome Cone. Alderman Coleman had surgery over the last week, and he's out and looking for a motion to excuse him. We have one.
Motion.
I'll take Mr. James. We have a second.
Also.
Mr. Wheeler. All those in favor say aye.
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 Against? The ayes have it. I want to thank the council for showing up tonight. I greatly appreciate it. We're adjourned at 7:43.